I think I got my first notoriety by drawing on my friend's cast in first grade. And after that, you know, it was like, oh, I kind of like that. You know, everyone was looking at my artwork on the cast, and then, you know, I evolved to notebooks. And so those were my first gallery spaces. So it really was never a question for me whether I was going to go to art school or not. That was always my primary interest.
And I work.
I'm almost in a way. I'm in the same field that I was in. It's just that the field changed, so I had to keep changing with it. And I think that's you know, really critical for success in any field, is just really being aware of what's happening in it and seeing what's next and understanding how you fit in and how all your interests always kind of work together to bring you to the next spot in your career. But I never would have imagined what even happened in the industry from where I started. Well, that made me remember a story with Fred also that I hadn't thought of before. But I was in a drawing class, live figure drawing, and I was never one for hands and feet. You know, I got a little lazy around the hands and feet. And so Fred came over, and he was just, like, looking at it for a while, and then he said, okay, can you tell me the difference between how you drew the hand and how you drew her face? And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I wasn't looking at the hand when I drew it, because it's kind of like, oh, yeah, it's a hand. And that little, you know, recognition of kind of having a self-awareness, I think, was really kind of a turning point for me to say, you know, you really can't give it any slack. You know, you have to pay attention all the time. You know, and you have to be aware. And if you're taking on that role of being an artist, which is essentially observer, make sure that you're doing that job all the time. I always sort of like was not participating in the idea of sort of an arrogant designer or design happening in a black box. So it would kind of frustrate me when I had to work with other designers in situations where the client or the customer is left feeling intimidated by the designer. And I really worked hard in my career not to be that person. And at American Express, it was really great to even the people who worked there who were in charge of working with the external agencies literally, I had two people come crying to me. You know, saying, like, you know, the agency made me feel like a jerk and stupid, and I just find that, like, really reprehensible. And really worked there to, you know, building the in-house team, not only building the team, but also educating the staff there about how to communicate with the design team, make them feel comfortable with all the terminology, and then did, like, kind of a lunch and learn where, well, you know, we talk about trends that are happening in design or in web or tablet, mobile, whatever, brought in other people to speak and really just made it more of a culture of design there instead of having it be, you know, this other kind of relationship. Oh, we don't have the capacity to know that. Only the designers know that.
Right.
Where I got put into, like, these advanced math classes when nobody really asked me, and maybe I was good at it, but I didn't like it. So by the time I got to my senior year in high school, I really didn't have anything to do, and I was just bored. So coming to art school is just so exciting and liberating to do things that I actually, you know, had an interest in and felt I could evolve in. So it was really great. I want to add to that, just because I'm pretty passionate about that, and just have been doing some research about artists. And artists, the average artist in this country makes $33,000 a year. So kind of by that standard, it really doesn't make itself a viable profession. But I think that there are a lot of opportunities now, especially with digital and the changing art market itself, that you can be inventive and creative and think about how your art gets out there in the world and how it's relevant and how it provides value to people. So I think it's great that, you know, people just create their art and whatever, but I think that, you know, today's world, it has to go another step. You can create something that you love, but I think you also have to think about what is it going to mean to somebody else and how do I connect with that person. So I don't want to call it a product, but it is kind of a product thinking of how do I make something, how do I know who else is going to connect to this, and how do I reach those people? And I think that's, you know, an opportunity now, really a golden opportunity that really hasn't happened before, given a lot of new art markets out there, online and apps. Just think about it in different ways.
And do you think that...
Well, art can be something that serves you and that you do it and you can share it with your friends or you can have do it for whatever reason. But if you're creating your art because you feel like you want to connect or share something with the world, then you have to think of how that's going to happen. You know, it can be either way, but if you do have that desire, I think now is a great time because there are a lot of different ways. I would echo those two things, internships and family connections. That's how I got my first job. My aunt knew the she worked in a building that she knew the security guard who knew a guy who worked in the art department at AIG. So it was a little circuitous, but you know that's how it happened. So don't really discount anything. Also, when I was up here in Hartford, I worked at a part-time job working for Alvin, whatever it was called, doing design work for them. So when I left, I had a portfolio, which was great, of like real stuff. So that was really helpful. And then if none of those things work out right away, or even at the same time, try volunteering. Because volunteering can, you know, that means you can pick wherever you want to go. And then, you might have other networking opportunities there or just find out things. As long as you're working, you know, just don't do nothing. You know, just either work on your work a portion of the time, too, and then do some volunteering or whatever you could do. I say when you say it fast, it sounds like Harvard, so. Yeah, that got me my creative executive role. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't take advantage of too much else on campus, but I really love the radio station, and the radio station was so ended up being so important because I wanted to do radio actually, but then a lot of times you see like in the real life what that job is like, and it's not fun, but it was really fun on the campus. But it really did help me feel like comfortable talking in front of an audience and communicating and giving that kind of performance dimension, and that was really important, I think. Part of the change that happened was that we became a much more visual society, so we're not, we're sharing things with pictures now where we really didn't have the opportunity to do that before. So in a certain way, yeah, it starts to look the same, but it's also a different way of communicating to each other. And yet, of course, it's like much more challenging, to be a unique artist, but that just has to come from this, the uniqueness of you and all those different little things that you like. So it's not, that straight path. It's really trying to highlight all the things that you like, whether it's, what we see on the panel here, kind of bringing to fruition maybe slowly over time, all the different things that you have an interest in that ultimately like culminate in something, I guess the time frames are different for people, but, it could happen quickly or slowly, but, just really being able to find your own uniqueness and with that.